Let's turn to hymn number 55. Number 55, let's all stand together, please. Number 55, we'll sing the... That's interesting. Let's sing the all three verses.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning when the dead in Christ shall rise and the glory of his resurrection share. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there.
Amen. Brother Chase, would you open in prayer for us, please? Amen. You can be seated. And at this time, we have a trio, Michaela, Krista, and Chloe will be singing.
Just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see his awesome glory, I remember who he is and bow the knee. Bow the knee.
Bow the knee. He is King of all.
Thank you, young ladies. That was a blessing. And what place did they get? Third place. They did an excellent job. That was beautiful. And we welcome you to the evening service. And it's Master Club night. The young people went to the regionals last week and did very, very well. And so you're going to get to hear a lot of the songs and some of the preaching and different activities that they were involved in. And we praise the Lord for that. And what a great, great activity and opportunity for these young people. It was a blessing. And anyway, good to have you here. We had a great service this morning with Brother Phil Paulus, missionary in London, Ontario, Canada. Just a fantastic service and a great Sunday school, a great banquet. And we're just glad that you're here tonight. Do we have anyone visiting? Any first-time visitors here tonight? Didn't see any. All right. Let me give you some announcements. We have several things, and then we'll move right along. A couple of sign-up sheets. Moms with Tots, of course, meets Tuesday, 11 o'clock till 1 o'clock in the school gym. Next Sunday, Mother's Day, we will have a baby dedication, so always look forward to that. Tuesday, May 13th, kindergarten graduation and awards night, and then May 16th is our senior high graduation for Berean Baptist Academy, so make sure you mark those on your calendar. Senior Saints are going to Cracker Barrel Thursday, May 15th. Y'all excited about that? So if you'd like to attend that, you do not have to be involved in Senior Saints, but you do need to be an adult, and you are welcome to attend that, and that'll be good. Some folks are very excited about that, all right? And then we have a sign-up sheet if you would like to be on the prayer chain, and praise the Lord, a lot of names, a lot of folks on that. So if you have not signed up yet and you'd like to be on the prayer chain, make sure you get signed up for that, and we will include you in that ministry. All right, let's see. We are at hymn number 29. Number 29, At the Cross, and let's sing first, second, and last verses. Number 29.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. On the last, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Brother Tim.
All right, let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord's blessing tonight on the offering. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your wonderful, bountiful blessings that you give to us each and every day. We thank you for the Master Club program and for the many years that this has gone on here, and many children, now even adults, that have been trained in serving you because of it. We ask tonight that the service will be a blessing to each and everyone here, but mostly that your name will be glorified and that you'll be pleased. Bless now this part of the service where we can partake and give back to you a portion of what you've blessed us with. I just pray that you help us to be obedient and faithful in giving of the tithes and offerings to support this ministry that you've called us to here. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Take your hymnals one more time, 134. Let's all stand together, and we'll sing the first and last verses, My Anchor Holds, 134.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest then, O gale, on my bark so small and frail, by His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Troubles almost whelm the soul, griefs like billows o'er me roll, tempters seek to lure astray, storms obscure the light of day, but in Christ I can be bold. I've an anchor that can hold, and it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest and O gale, on my bark so small and frail, by His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor.
Amen, and you can be seated. And as we mentioned a week ago, our young people went to the Master Club Regionals, did a very, very good job, just had a great time. Sure appreciate all the workers, so many workers that work with the young people in the Master Clubs, and what a blessing to watch them Saturday after Saturday working hard, practicing, and it paid off. They did very, very well. Brother Dave's going to come now, and the rest of the program will be the Master Club program, and there will be some preaching, and so we're looking forward to that.
Amen. Amen. Oh, what? I don't get a hand. No, I'm just kidding. All right. No, we had a really good time, though, at Regionals last week, and Preacher texted me as we were there, and he goes, how are the kids doing? And at the time, I was judging for the Preacher's Boys, and they were doing really well. And I told him they were doing well. He's like, well, how's everybody else doing? I was like, I don't know. I haven't seen everybody else yet. They haven't passed out the badges yet. They haven't done any of that yet. And I'm like, I'm not sure how they're doing. He's like, well, when do we get to hear them? I'm like, man, Dad, it's not even over yet. You know, come on, give me a chance to breathe. And we decided to go ahead and have our service tonight to give the young people a chance to sing for us and play some piano and have some preaching. And we have some puppets, I believe, as well, and so it'll be a really good night. So I'm glad each and every one of you were able to make it tonight, and I've been talking to some of the kids earlier, and there's a lot of kind of shaking a little bit, so a little nervous. And are you guys nervous? Just a little bit? Yeah? All right. I've had the privilege of the past several Wednesday nights preaching with some of the young men, and this next Wednesday night I'll be with Caleb. And so preaching with him, doing some tag team. So tonight you'll get to hear some of the messages that we've been able to hear. And but first, I would like to introduce Miss Noella, and she's going to play the piano for us. Thank you, Noella. Very good job. And at this time, we have Mr. Andrew Wilbar. He's going to come and preach for us. So come on up, Andrew.
All right, tonight I'm going to be talking to you about things that can keep us away from serving God. Have you ever had a time in your life when you would have rather stayed home instead of going to church, played video games instead of going soul winning, or doing anything that will keep you away from serving God? Let's pray. Dear Lord, please help us to stay close to you, no matter the circumstance. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number one, my message is, if we give in to temptation, it can get us to stop serving God. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. In verse 13, we're going to read the first part of the verse. It says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Sometimes the devil will keep us from doing what God wants us to do. TV and video games could be some. Now, these aren't all bad things, but they are if they keep you away from serving God. Because not all TV is bad, but some is, and it can keep you away from serving God. And not all video games are bad, but they are if they keep you away from serving God. And I remember a time in my life when my mom told me to go clean my room, and I was playing, and I didn't feel like it. And the devil was tempting me and saying, "You don't have to do that. You can do that later. You can just play." And he does that especially to Christians. And if you go to Matthew 4, in the first four verses of the chapter, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" And that brings me right into my second point, which is weights can slow us down from serving God. Now please turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 in verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, and let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." If there is a person running with weights, it's going to be hard for him to run fast. Now, watch me as I run across the room. It's harder for me to run, but watch me without the weight. Look how much faster I am and how much easier it is for me to move. And if you go to 1 Corinthians 9, in verse 24, it says, "Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." So whatever slows you down from serving God, you can change it today. Do you have anything that's keeping you away from serving God? If you do, you can change it today, and I'd like you to change it today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the day, and please help us to serve you. And no matter what the devil tries to do to us, please help us to stay close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Good job. Thank you, Andrew. Every time I hear him give that illustration, I think I don't want to run across this room with or without weights. I get tired watching him. So we're getting ready to have the puppets, so they're going to prepare for that. And as they do, I'm just going to stand here and, you know, eye candy. No, just kidding. But we really did have a good time, and it's a lot of fun, and I'm going to speak a little bit more about that later on. But if I could have, while they're getting the puppets ready, if I could have Tiffany and Mr. Dahlberg come up here. And they always get embarrassed. Mr. Dahlberg, where's he at? There he is. Come on up here. I got you guys something, and it's my business card. No, just kidding. Actually, I got you guys some gift cards for Pizza Hut. And you guys can go out to eat, take me out to eat sometime. But I appreciate all the hard work that you guys do. And I know I say this every year, but I really don't do much with regionals. I have a lot of responsibilities on Wednesday night that going through all the different classrooms. And Mr. Dahlberg and Ms. Tiffany, they're the ones that are actually putting everything together, and they're actually getting everything set up. They're getting all of the teams put together. They're getting all of the paperwork that's involved, just all of the nuts and the bolts of how regionals goes. And honestly, by the time we get to regionals, I'm asking them what they want me to do, because I really don't have anything that I'm supposed to be doing, because they've taken care of all of it. And so I appreciate all the hard work that you guys do. Let's give them a hand for me. Thank you. At this time, we're going to have puppets with Matthew and Krista.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, up the hill and down the trail.
Hey, Tim, what you doing?
Hiding Easter eggs. Boy, am I excited about Easter. I can't wait to go looking for all these eggs I'm hiding.
Wait a minute. When's the hunt?
In about an hour.
And you're hiding the eggs?
Yep. See, I close my eyes just before I hide them, so I don't know where they're hidden.
Boy, you really get excited about Easter, don't you?
Yeah, I can't wait from one year to the next. I love to color eggs and have big Easter egg hunts.
Tim, do you know why Easter is celebrated each year?
Sure. Easter honors the great white Easter bunny who died many years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and someday the great white Easter bunny is supposed to come back to life as a new baby bunny born in an Easter egg.
Oh, really?
Yep, and so you have to color eggs and hide them, hoping that you find the special egg that contains the great white Easter bunny.
Tim, I don't know what comic you read that in, but you're a little mixed up. In fact, you're a lot mixed up.
What do you mean?
Well, people hunt for eggs at Easter, but that's not why we celebrate Easter.
It's not?
Nope. Easter is celebrated to remember the resurrection of Jesus, God's son.
What's a resurrection?
Resurrection means Jesus came back to life.
Oh, like the great white Easter bunny is going to do?
Well, I don't think the great white Easter bunny is going to do that, Tim. See, Jesus was a real man who lived on earth, but then he was hung on the cross to die for our sins.
I don't think the great white Easter bunny ever did that.
You're right. No one else has ever done that for anyone.
Why did Jesus have to die for other people's sins?
Well, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord."
You mean Jesus has come back to life already?
Yeah, and he came back to life 3 days after he died.
I guess I'd better forget about the great white Easter bunny.
Well, Tim, believing in Jesus is more important than believing in your great white Easter bunny.
Excuse me, Becky.
What are you doing, Tim?
I'm picking up all the eggs I've hidden. I'm going to write messages about Jesus' resurrection on them. And anyone who finds my eggs will read about the real meaning of Easter.
Here, let me help you, Tim.
All right, very good job. Thank you. That's a lot of work holding up puppets like that. A lot of work. That's why I don't do it. I just imagine me holding up my hand the whole time. But very good job. I would like to challenge you guys. If you ever get a chance to come to regionals, you would really enjoy it. And I'm going to talk just a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But I think everybody should at least give it a try once in their life. I think it would just blow you away, just all of the work that's involved and just all of the – or do something along that lines because it's really awesome. At this time, Michaela would be playing the piano for us. Excellent job. Thank you, Michaela. At this time, Mr. Matthew will be coming and preaching for us.
I'm going to be talking about how we should be a clean vessel, and I have two texts. The first is Isaiah 64, verse 8. And if you have your Bibles, turn there. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand." And then just a few pages over to Jeremiah 18, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 4 says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." Both these verses are talking about how God is our Father, and God is our Father or potter, and we are the clay. And if we're dirty, he can't use us. And there are four definitions of a vessel. The first one is a ship, or the second one is a blood vessel. The third one is a hollow utensil for holding liquids, and the fourth one is a person. Is there a certain bowl or cup at home that you like to use? If I have one at home, but if that vessel was dirty, you wouldn't want to use it. And that is the same with God. God doesn't have favorites, but if we're dirty, he can't use us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and just please help me to say the right words, and please help us to learn about how we can be a clean vessel and how we should be a clean vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. And these cups here and water is going to represent us in life. And we see, number one, we cannot have a hole or a weak spot in our life. This cup right here has a bunch of holes in it, and if I were to pour water in it, the water would just leak out. So we can't use that cup. And 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And if we have weak spots, Satan can get in a whole lot easier and tempt us. And Satan knows some of our weak spots. He knows where he can get in. And then number two, we see that we cannot be dirty. And that's 1 Peter 1:16. And 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And we can't be dirty on the inside, which is this darling little cup right here. Quite nasty. And Matthew 23:25-26. Matthew 23:25-26 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and wickedness. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside may be clean also." And Jesus is speaking to a multitude of people, and he's using the Pharisees as his object. He goes on in verses 27 and 28 to talk about the Pharisees being as white as sepulchres. A sepulcher is a grave, and they used to put, like when someone would die, they'd put their bones in there. So he's comparing the Pharisees to a painted grave. And he says that they appear to be clean on the outside, but their inside is full of dirt. So our water here, if we pour the water into this cup, then it's all dirty and brown and nasty. And then we can't be dirty on the outside either. In 2 Corinthians 6:17. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And then this cup here, it wasn't dirty on the inside, but it was hanging around a cup that was dirty. And our testimony, some people might not get to read a Bible or never be able to come to church, but we're the testimony of a Christian. And if they see us and we're fighting and not being a good Christian, then they wouldn't want to get saved because we're just acting the same as them. They wouldn't see anything different. And 1 Samuel 16:7, the last part of that, 1 Samuel 16:7b says, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And man looking on the outward appearance, that's our testimony. We need to make sure we have a good testimony so they know what a Christian is. They can tell what a Christian is, and they can see it apart from the world. And if we were to pour water in this, your lips would get all dirty drinking it. And that wouldn't be quite good either. And then, number three, we see we just need to be a nice, clean vessel that God can use. And turn over to Romans 9:21. Romans 9:21 says, "Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor?" And this cup here doesn't have holes in it. It's not dirty on the outside or inside. So if I pour the water into this, I know that it's not dirty. And I can just take a drink of it. And we should all want to be that vessel unto honor that it talks about in Romans 9:21. This, like I said, this cup is perfect. I can use it. And are you a clean vessel for God? If not, I challenge you to just try to be a clean vessel for God and change that today right now. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this message. And please help us to remember not to have weak spots or holes in our life. And if we do, to try to get those confessed to you and then to not be dirty on the outside or inside. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Matthew, and his darling little cup.
Yes.
Here you go. I'll get that. You got it? All right. Every time I see a cup from now on, I'm going to think, that's a darling little cup. That was great. I think he's in the ensemble, right? And he just left. Matthew has left the building. That means we have to stall for a few seconds, but seriously, we did have a regionals was great, and there was a group there that just had a ton of people. It was just, yeah, Southside, they had a ton of people, and I counted, there was probably two adults for every one kid there, and they had probably, what, about 20 kids, maybe, something like that, about 20 kids. And they probably had about 40 adults, and I went and talked to the pastor. I said, that was just incredible. It looks like your whole church came out here. And he's like, well, when we invest our time and our effort into the kids, we want to see what they do. And it was kind of like, you know, kind of hit me pretty hard, because sometimes regionals is a tough day, and sometimes you look at it like, oh, I got to go, you know, to regionals. It's going to be a long day. I'm not going to get home. I've got stuff I could be doing. But then, you know, it kind of hit me, you know, we're investing all of this effort into the kids and into the young people. Shouldn't we want to see them succeed? And it was just incredible. I thought it spoke to my heart. At this time, we have the small ensemble will be coming and singing for us. Very good job. How many of you young people tonight brought your badges with you? Let's see. I see quite a few hands. All right. When we dismiss, I'm going to, well, we'll have preacher dismiss the young people first, but we're not ready to dismiss yet. But when we do, we'll have the young people that went to regionals be dismissed first. And what I want them to do is get all their badges out and array them on themselves if they can in some form or another. And they'll be standing out back in the foyer area. And then when the adults are dismissed and everybody else, what I want you to do is go up and look at all the ribbons and the badges and the awards that were won and congratulate them because they did an exceptional job. I was watching sort of as far as trying to kind of tabulate in my head about how many awards and stuff. And the best I could kind of calculate, it seemed like we won almost a fourth of all of the badges that were given that that day. And there was probably, I think there was about 11 or 12 churches there. So to win 25, there were nine churches. So to win 25% of the awards out of nine churches is really good. And we have some very fine young people here at Berean Baptist Church. And we have some very fine adults that have mentored the young people here at Berean Baptist Church. And I want you to turn your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Daniel chapter number 1. And the young people will recognize this passage because it's what I spoke on Wednesday. And I was really torn between two different ways to go tonight. And when preacher asked me to preach, there's been a couple different ways, passages that I was wanting to go, but I really wanted to speak on this, and I promise I won't keep you very late. It's about a quarter till. I plan to be done by 7, and so I won't keep you late tonight, I promise. And but I just want to say a couple of things. In Daniel chapter number 1, verse number 8, and this is the passage that we read out of on Wednesday night, and with our whole Master Club session. And so I wanted to just bring this to you tonight. And for the young people, it'll be kind of a little bit of the same thing, but I think us adults can also apply it. Daniel 1, verse 8, the Bible says this, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." And go ahead and turn over to Daniel chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 17. Daniel 2, verse 17, the Bible says, "Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." And one more passage, Daniel chapter number 3. And verse number 16, Daniel 3, verse 16. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says this, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Three very familiar passages to just about anybody that's ever been in church. The second passage, though, is not as familiar. A lot of times we skip through it. But the first passage was talking about Daniel. Many of you know the story of Daniel. And Daniel had been taken into captivity. He had watched his homeland be destroyed. He had watched his family taken, probably saw his parents get killed. And he's taken as a captive, as a young person. And he goes into the king's courts, and the king wants to train him to be one of his servants. And he says, you know, we're going to give Daniel the meat that's offered to the idols, the drink, the wine, and we're gonna give him this and build him up healthy. And the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about that whole passage, but it makes it very clear that Daniel was not going to defile himself. And it also makes it clear that Daniel was kind of the leader of this four young men. You had Daniel, and then you have the other three men that we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And during this time, Daniel says, I will not defile myself. And then he goes on to say, and he says, you know what, and I've got my three friends with me too. And we've also purposed that we're not going to defile ourselves. And Daniel goes as far and he says, you know, why don't you let us prove God? Why don't you let us prove God? Why don't you say, we'll take, you guys can go and drink the king's wine and eat the king's meat and all that stuff. Just feed us what we want here with these vegetables and this stuff. And we'll see at the end who's stronger. And the Bible makes it clear that God came and he made Daniel and his three friends stronger. But then the Bible goes on to Daniel chapter 2, and we just read it, but it says, it talks about how the king is dreaming a dream, and he can't figure out what the dream means. And he brings all these people in to try to interpret the dream for him, and they can't interpret it. He says, fine, what good are you? If you can't interpret the dream, it'll kill you all. And Daniel and his friends fell into that same category of the people that were supposed to interpret the dreams. And Daniel finds out of you, wait, you're going to kill us just because we don't know what the king dreamed? He says, I tell you what, can you wait just a little bit? You know, can you hold the king's anger just a little bit? Let me go and see if God can tell me what the dream means. And then what does Daniel do? This is very interesting. And this is the part I think a lot of us Christians, we skip over a lot of times. Let's look at the verse again. Verse number 17, the Bible says, then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. Daniel goes to his friends, and he asks his friends to pray for him. And you know what? I think we skip over this passage a lot, because honestly, I don't know if I've ever heard a sermon preached about that fact right there. I can't say that I ever have. You may have. And I know Wednesday night the young people did because we talked about it a little extensively. In fact, I got several young people that promised they are going to pray for me from now on. And I want us to just think about this just a second. Because you see, as a church, as Berean Baptist Church, there are many of us that we're pretty strong Christians. There are many of us that we've stood behind a pulpit before. There are many of us that we've sung songs before. There are many of us that have played on the piano, that have played violin, that have taught Sunday school class, that have done some type of a service, that have done all these things. We've done it before. And I think the Bible is pretty clear here that Daniel, he was maybe a little more spiritual than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He was maybe a little bit, he was a little more, I shouldn't say spiritual, but he was a little more advanced. He probably had a little closer walk with God than they did. They hadn't been tested as much as Daniel had been tested. The Bible makes it, I believe that in the way I read it, I believe the Bible makes it very clear that Daniel is kind of the leader here. And his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're the ones that maybe they need to be brought up. And Daniel goes to his friends and he says, will you pray for me? And you know, I think that we can see that here at Berean Baptist Church. Because here at Berean Baptist Church, I would like to ask you guys to pray for me. Here at Berean Baptist Church, I know a preacher would ask you to pray for him. Here at Berean Baptist Church, I know that our deacons would ask you, pray for us. Our leaders, our Sunday school teachers, our people that work with the shepherds, our people that work with the kids every week in the master clubs, pray for us. But even so much more, how about our kids? How about our kids? Because pray for them. But then, hey kids, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray that we don't stumble. Pray that we don't fall. Pray that we still stand behind the pulpit and preach the same way today that we preached 20 years ago. Pray that we are doing the, you know, every year when God lets me judge for the preacher boys, I'm always reminded of the first time I stood behind a pulpit and preached. When I was 7 years old, at something very similar to regionals, I stood behind a pulpit, scared to death, just like Matthew was, just like Andrew was, just like Caleb was, and just like Jacob was, just like all of your young people were scared to death standing in front of people and turn your Bible. Can I start over? You know, I did that one time. I remember specifically one time I stood there and I had, what was it, Dad? A 3-minute pause where I stood there for 3 minutes and I just looked at him. Can I start over? And you know what? I've been there. And my dad prayed for me. And I had Sunday school teachers pray for me. I had friends pray for me. I had friends lift me up. I had, teachers pray for me. I had people investing in my life. And now I can turn around and invest in the other young people's lives. You see, the end of the story, we come to, Daniel's not around in the next chapter. Daniel's not there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are there. But Daniel's not in the next passage. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come across a decision that they have to make. And that decision is, should we bow before the image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up? Or should we take our stand and say, we're not going to bow before the other image because God said that we're not supposed to make anybody above God. And so should we stand or should we bow? And you know what? I like what they say. They say, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer in this manner. Either God is able to deliver us from you or he's not. But it's not really up to me. It's up to God. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took their stand without Daniel. And you know, young people, there will come a time when you won't have rules, when you won't have regulations, when you won't have curfews, you won't have all of these things that tie you down. There will come a time when you'll be free to do whatever you want. And that's when you have to decide, am I going to take my stand or am I going to bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar's image? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I truly believe the reason that they did not bow down was because the chapter before, Daniel invested in his friends and said, hey, will you guys pray for me? Will you guys pray? Will you guys let me help you grow? Will you guys let me into your life just a little bit? Will you guys help me? Will you guys pray that I'm able to, that God will give me the reason for this dream? You know, I believe that all three of those chapters correlate together. And I believe God gave them to us as an example. I believe that we, as Berean Baptist Church, should take that example and we should apply it to our own lives. You say, well, what do you mean? I mean this, purpose in your heart, first of all. Purpose in your heart that you're going to do right. Purpose in your heart that you're not going to defile yourself. Purpose in your heart, like Matthew preached, that you're going to be a clean vessel. Purpose in your heart that you're not going to have weights bogging you down. Purpose in your heart. And then secondly, let other people in on your life. Train other people. Teach other people. Parents, teach your young people right and wrong. Train up a child in the way he should go, the Bible says. You know, teach your young people. Show them the right way. Show them what it's like to live a Christian life. How hard is it for a young person when they hear preaching from the Bible at church and then they go home and their parents live like the devil, and yet they heard the same preaching that they did? That's got to be tough, right? It's got to be hard. So maybe it's time that we look at our own lives and, hey, let's be more like Daniel. Let's turn to our young people and let's say, hey, let me help you up. And then, hey, young people, when it comes time for you to stand on your own, when it comes time for you to stand against the world, and the world says, oh, you need to bow down to this, you need to bow down to that, O King, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. You see, way back then, Daniel taught me how to pray. Way back then, Daniel taught me to have a walk with God. Way back then, when I was a young person, Daniel showed me from the Bible. I don't think they had the Bible back then, but Daniel showed me how to have a personal relationship between God and myself. And now I can say to you, King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel's not around, but I'm not careful to answer you in this matter, because God is either going to save me or God's going to take me to heaven. But either way, go ahead and heat up the furnace, because I'm jumping in. And we find here that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they weren't afraid of the furnace. Why? Because they knew God would either deliver them by not burning them up, or he would deliver them by taking them to heaven. Either way, it was a win-win situation. And that's how they were able to say, we're not going to bow down to the world. Something for us to think about. All the young people here did a fantastic job. And, you know, they had a really good time doing it. There were smiles on their faces. If you could have seen Matt and Jenny Varnum, in fact, we might someday get to show the little head cam thing where Matt was doing the little bouncy ball going all the way around with his little video camera thing. That was pretty cool, by the way. I see VBS potential. But smiles on their faces, lots of young people, smiles on their faces. Lots of adults that, hey, good job. There was people from churches that I've never met the people before. And our kids go up to get a reward, and I saw there were three men, older men, standing right on the side, and our kids walk past them, and they're, good job, way to go, that was awesome, that was great. I'm like, who are those guys? They don't even go to our church, and yet they're congratulating our church for beating their church. Why? It's not about the competition. It was about the fact that we had a group of young people that were standing up and saying, I love you, God. This is what I'm doing for you. Amen. And maybe it's time some of us adults get that back in our hearts. I love you, God. This is what I want to do for you. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe say tonight, you know what? God's spoken to my heart. I want to be more like Daniel. I want a purpose in my heart to do what's right. Maybe say, you know what? I need to reach the younger generation. I need to be someone that's helping this younger generation. Instead of making it hard for them to serve God, I need to help them. I need to help make it easier for young people to serve God. Or maybe you're a young person. You say, you know what? I need to be ready to stand when it comes my time. I don't know, maybe God's spoken to your heart. If God's spoken to your heart tonight, would you be bold enough to raise your hand? I see a few hands risen. Maybe you say, you know what, Brother Rogers, I don't even know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Maybe there's someone like that. You say, Brother Rogers, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven someday. Would you raise your hand? Is there anyone like that? You say, I don't know for sure that I'm going to heaven? All right. Let's all stand, and as we stand, as the piano plays, if you have a decision you want to make where God's speaking to your heart, why don't you come forward and tell God about it? Tell God, you know, God, I want to be more like Daniel. I want to be more like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want to help other people serve God right.
be seated. Thank you so much.